Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 14th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
In final words to his disciples on the night of his arrest, Jesus encourages obedience to his commands and speaks of the Spirit who will be with them forever. I begin reading at verse 15. If you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to be with you forever. This is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot perceive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him because he abides with you, and he will be in you. I will not leave you orphaned. I am coming to you. In a little while the world will no longer see me, but you will see me because I live. You also will live. On that day you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. They who have my commandments and keep them are those who love me, and those who love me will be loved by my Father, and I will love them and reveal myself to them. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
May be seated.
I brought with me this morning something very, very special. I have a bear and I have a blanket. They make me think of many fun things and nice things. Do any of you have a teddy bear? Or a rabbit? Or a monkey that you like to hold? Do you sleep with it?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. It makes you feel good, doesn't it? Well, some people get embarrassed by a security blanket or a bear, but there really isn't any reason to be embarrassed about it. In our story, in our gospel that Pastor read this morning, Jesus knew that his disciples were going to miss him. He was their comfort. He gave them good feelings. And he was going to go back into heaven. So, he knew that they would be sad. And he knew that they would need something. Not a teddy bear, not a blanket, but that they had to have something. You know, there are some churches where the ladies make shawls, and they call them prayer shawls. And they give them to people who are sick or hurting. And it's to help remind them of what Jesus promised those disciples, that he was going to send someone who was going to live in our hearts and be there with us to make us feel better when we feel sad or hurt, or maybe we're sick. Do you know who that is? Did you listen? The Holy Spirit. Can you say that? Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is our security blanket. He's our bear or our monkey or our rabbit, whatever it might be. He's always there. And the next time you need your bear to go to bed with you, or you need your rabbit, remember that you also have the Holy Spirit there too. Will you pray with me? Dear Jesus, thank you for loving us so much that you sent the Holy Spirit to comfort us. Amen.
Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Last week, I mentioned as St. Peter was writing his letter, he wrote them to the people that are in Asia Minor, particularly what we know of as modern-day Turkey or Greece. And he addressed his letter to the exiles in diaspora. He calls them exiles, and in many ways, these people were exiles. Some of them had been persecuted, and they came to move here thinking that they would no longer be persecuted. For others, maybe it was one spouse who was a Christian, but married to a spouse who was pagan. And so there was some kind of, it didn't quite fit quite right. For some people, it was that they were slaves. But their masters then were pagans. The slaves were Christians, the masters were pagans. Or for some others, they didn't quite fit in because maybe it was one Christian family, but surrounded all around them then were pagans. And so Peter calls them exiles. And because they didn't quite fit in, they were noticed. And they became suspect. For instance, maybe there was a pagan festival that was going on, but people noticed that the Christians weren't participating in that pagan festival. And so they noticed that they were different. That what's with these people? What are they doing? How come they don't join in with these festivals? And so they became suspect, and people started to talk about them. And not only that, then rumors and gossip started to spread, and some of them were pretty nasty, like these Christians belong to a secret sect that eat the flesh and drink the blood of their leader. And so they were misunderstood, and as that starts to happen, they were persecuted and they were shunned. Now, when somebody does you wrong, or when you feel threatened, or you know that you are in danger, our first response is of one or two ways. It's either flight or fight. Either we can run away from the situation, run away from the problem, and many of these Christians had, they had been persecuted where they were before, only to find themselves persecuted again. They had flown away. Or the other option is to fight, to lash out, to get back in their faces once again, to start trouble in those instances. One of the things that I know is that we cannot force people to be Christian. We cannot fight them into believing into God. It does not work to tell them that you are condemned because you don't believe and worship the same way that I do, or worship in this God Jesus Christ. That's not our place to condemn. Our place is simply to tell the story. And that's where St. Peter comes in today in this second lesson that we read. He says that when you are persecuted, when people treat you wrong, that rather you are just simply to continue to do good, to do the things that you are called to do as a Christian, and also to speak with reverence and with gentleness, to speak to others. Speak with gentleness and speak with reverence. It's a hard thing to do many times, but You know, I guess what Peter's getting at is if that you eliminate the threat in certain ways, if people see that they are lashing out against you, that they are treating you bad, and you don't react in the same way, if you don't fly away or if you don't fight back, they see you no longer as a threat. That even though you may be different because you are a Christian, you aren't a threat to them. Because you are still doing good. You're treating them with kindness. You're treating them with gentleness. You're treating them with sincerity. You're treating them with reverence. And it no longer becomes a threat to them. And they see, you've got something. There's something about you that is good. And I want to be a part of that. And so it becomes an evangelism tool. And it also knocks out that persecution that many people will give to Christians. But Peter goes on to say, though, sometimes it doesn't work. People still cause you to suffer. People will still continue not to treat you well, to treat you as somebody different, as somebody suspect, as a threat. But Peter says, even though you suffer for the sake of the gospel, rejoice. You are blessed. How can you be blessed, though, if you are suffering? How can you be blessed if other people are persecuting you? What Peter's referring to, I think, is that you're in good company. Many of the previous Christians have gone through this. Many of the prophets went through this. And the best example of all is you are in the company of Jesus Christ himself. Because Jesus was sinless. And he did good. And he preached with gentleness and with reverence. But at the same time, he was persecuted. Very much so. Jesus was arrested by his enemies. He was whipped and he was stripped. He was kicked. He was spit at. He had a crown of thorns put on his head. He was tried unjustly. He was accused of crimes which he did not commit. And he was condemned without cause to death. And they hung him on the cross to die. But because of that pain, that suffering, that rejection, that persecution, Christ rose again from the dead. And because of all that, he brought salvation to this world. God is amazing. God can bring the most wonderful things, even out of suffering. I don't think God causes us to suffer. God does not want bad things to happen to us. God does not want us to be persecuted. But God did give free choice to the people of this world. And unfortunately, too many people choose their own way. And as a result, we do have evil in this world. We do have people who hate. People who do persecute. God does not bring suffering into this world. But because of our free choice, because of the evil within this world, we bring that suffering on. But even in the midst of that suffering, God can bring good things out of that. And so if you find yourself suffering for the sake of the gospel, for doing what is good, rejoice. You are blessed because you are in very good company. Peter says, do good, continue to do good, and be ready to confess your faith to other people. Be ready to tell that story of Jesus Christ, to tell it with gentleness and to tell it with reverence, to be able to speak that so that people can understand, so people can see that there is something within you, that God has given you something and they want to be a part of that. A good example of someone who spoke with gentleness and with reverence is actually found in our first lesson today, in Acts. St. Paul was going around on his missionary journeys, and he comes to Athens. But before he starts to speak, he has to learn about the city. He has to learn who he's speaking to. And so he walks around the city, and as he walks around, he notices all of the shrines, the monuments, the altars, the statues, the buildings, all dedicated to all those different Greek gods. I'm sure you remember back in school when you studied all those Greek gods. Well, each one of them had a different temple or altar or shrine or something there. And Paul comes across one that says, to the unknown God. And he sees that as his opening. Now, remember, I said that you can't force people into Christianity, but you can tell them the story. And that's what we're called to do. And that's exactly what Paul did then. He just simply tells the story, but he uses that same language of the people. He uses what they understand, and he doesn't fight them. Rather, he uses them what they know, because he says, "People of Athens, I notice that you are very religious." He doesn't tear them down, but he lifts them up using what they know and who they are. "I notice that you are very religious. And as I was moving through the city, I noticed this shrine over here that says to the unknown God. Let me tell you about that God." And he starts to tell them the story of God. He starts to tell them about Jesus Christ. And he brings that message to them. But even in the midst of that message, he continues on using what they know, that same language that they know. He quotes a couple of the Greek philosophers and poets right in the midst of his sermon. He preaches their own stuff back to them so that they understand, so that there's a connection with them. He uses that reverence, that gentleness, to bring that message of Jesus Christ across to the people. That's our mission as well then too, is to continue to tell the story. We can't force people to be Christians. We can't force people to act on their faith. But we can simply continue to do good and to speak with reverence and with gentleness. To continue to tell that story of Jesus Christ, who was crucified and rose again. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep our hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.